What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. It's August 20th, 2024. We are taking you all the way up to 6:15 and Nats pregame tonight, 4 o'clock. We've got tickets you can win right here on G&D. If you want to go see Jason Aldean at Jiffy Lube Live, you better be locked in. Danny, what's up?
63 degrees this morning when I opened up that front door and strolled and strutted on down the street like I was in a Bee Gees video, just hanging out, walking the kids to school. I damn near frolicked, my friend. Now, it's a false fall. We're going to get one more summer slap in the face. The Instagram people have one more kind of last push, but they're almost defeated. It's almost their time to go back into their hovels. It's perfect. 63 degrees this morning.
You're talking about taking the kids to school.
That's right.
Weather being in the 60s. You and I, Darius, sitting here trying to map out our fantasy football draft coming up in a couple of weeks.
It ain't bad.
As we're trying to put our league together again for the G&D Listener League this year. We're like, wait a second. Well, we can't do it that week because that's the start of the season. It is officially here. It's a real thing. Football has arrived. The fall has come. I saw this. I just wanted to bounce these off of you really quickly. I don't know where this study came from. It was posted by a woman named Liz Wheeler. And she says, this is so accurate. It's the least attractive hobbies for men, according to women.
Oh, I'm going to have a couple on there, I bet.
So, let's see whether these are hobbies that we have. And again, this is the least attractive hobby as a man that you can have that is a turnoff for women.
How many does she list?
There are 9 here, it looks like.
I'm going to bet. I have not seen this. This is sprung upon me here, just at the top of the show. I bet I've got 4. I'm going to bet I have 4.
I'll take the under.
Really?
Yeah, I think
so.
All
right, here we go.
The first one is going to be tough for you. I'll just start with that.
Mm-hmm.
Playing video
games. There's one. Ring that bell, please.
Supposedly, unattractiveness score, whatever that means. I don't know how any of this works.
Yeah.
But it's a 90. Mm-hmm. Unattractiveness score.
Yeah.
It's the highest of all of the hobbies you can have. All right. I am not a video game guy.
So you're more, you're attractive.
Very attractive at
Love
the
it.
Moment. Collecting figurines.
Nope. I'm not Steve Carell and 40-year-old virgin. Good on that.
I scoop bobbleheads and collect those. Does that count?
Yes.
Does it?
Yeah. Right? Does that count?
All right. 1-1. This one I've never had any urge to do, and I don't have to worry about. Least attractive hobbies for men, according to women. I want to know if we have a listener who checks every box, by the way. Please call in, you unattractive goose, you. Magic tricks.
That's unattractive?
Apparently, it's extremely unattractive. Do you do any magic tricks?
Not at all. And I'm so jealous of people that can do it. Like here's a card, and then it's going to be in your back pocket somehow. Like, I want that.
I also don't do magic tricks.
I do 0.
It's 1-1.
Okay.
Online trolling. I don't know that as a hobby, but supposedly it's very unattractive. Would you consider yourself an online troll?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't, right? Either. No, I mean, we're both online a bunch, interacting with people. I think a troll is someone who goes account to account, yelling at people.
Yeah, more Chris Russell-y than us.
No, I don't even
I'm kidding. I'm doing a bit.
Chris Russell's not even that way. I think the online troll, we all know him. He could tell in his avatar either mm-hmm. who he's voting for, or what his beliefs are. And they just are searching the internet to yell at people and argue with people. Doesn't matter what side you're on, because I agree with whatever you guys think.
Yeah. And the thing that's outrageous, I see it too.
All right, so we're still 1-1, by the way.
Yeah. I thought I'd have more of these.
Now this one, I'm about to take the lead on the unattractiveness scale.
Here we go.
Gambling. You don't sports gamble.
Yeah, I don't gamble much.
I don't. I do quite a bit. So it's 2-1 for me.
Yeah, I do a little bit, but you are way more.
You don't have an app.
I don't
bet on games.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like share everything with everybody all the time.
Yeah. Well, you always say you don't bet on sports.
Yeah, I don't do much.
Money won't leave my pocket. I'll never bet. Yada yada yada.
I do a lot of daily fantasy. I do the occasional the little parlay here and there when the mood strikes me. No, because you the your leisure, buddy, your Heath.
Well, but still, if you're doing it, you need a bell.
So I don't do it as frequently.
You know what? I think fantasy football is gambling if it's a paid league.
Yeah.
If we're really getting into
there's
the
a lot.
Nitty-gritty.
Okay, there's two.
So let's say 2-2.
Yep.
This one, I don't think either of us have to worry about. Building model trains is unattractive, and it's a 65 score. Do you build model trains?
No. I can't do anything like
that. Do you build any kind of model anything?
I can't build anything.
Same. Taxidermy.
No. I've never had any interest in taxidermy.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that you shoot an animal and then you get it on your wall?
Get yourself an animal. It's dead. It's hollowed out, and you stuff it with some kind of substance to keep it as it is.
Is the hobby the actual building of the item, or is it just putting it on your wall after a professional sends it to you?
Oh, great question. I actually don't know that. I don't know if you got to do the whole process to count.
How many people are actually doing the tax? I feel like a company does that.
Again, I am not seasoned in terms of taxidermy. I don't know much.
You've never field dressed a deer.
I've never done that.
You and me both.
There was one time with my grandfather. He made me believe that I shot the deer, and I don't think I did in retrospect. He's got, I was a kid. And then it was time to do that, and I got close, and I went, maybe someone else should do it. I don't think I have this in me.
All right, two more least attractive hobbies for men according to women. Comic book collecting. 55. On the scale.
Is that ever?
I think that's currently.
So not currently, no.
How recently did you collect comic books?
It's been a while. I mean,
then you're fine.
Yeah.
Now, Money Metal Chris over there, we got to hit the bell for him, I believe.
I was at a comic store today. I'm just going to tell you before I came into work today.
You stopped by to see if they had the new item?
Well, I was out of town last week, and I had to pick up my comics, and my daughter was with me, and so she got a book too, and yeah. So I was at the comic book store today.
I'll hit the bell for you.
Ding.
Danny, and I are in the clear. And then we're both fine here, I think. Bird watching.
No.
Okay, so you only had two.
I only had two.
And you barely had that.
I'm like Tom Wilson.
I would even say you're 1.5.
Yeah. I thought I'd have way more on there. I thought it'd be like pickleball, guys that interrupt, people that need attention. You know,
These are hobbies. Those aren't really hobbies. Oh. Pickleball certainly is. But guess what? I think physical things where you're keeping your body moving. I think women, even though it's smelly and sweaty and a lot to deal with and you wear knee braces, I think they probably don't hate that.
I'm hot. I think that's the conclusion.
That's certainly not the conclusion.
Isn't that how we got there?
There were a lot of takeaways from that, but I don't think that was one of them.
Like honestly, just stick aside.
This reminds me really a lot sexy? Of when you thought you were the hot dad.
Yeah. No, but this test tells me that it's more sexy than it is hot. I think probably, you know what I mean? I have a good energy, except when I'm playing video games, I guess.
How do you like QR codes at restaurants, in or out?
Couldn't be more out.
Same.
Couldn't be more out because my phone goes to sleep for 2 seconds and now I got to scan the damn thing again.
It's the worst.
I want to either give me the website or let me hold the menu.
I bring this up for this reason. I'm pretty much out on QR codes. I need just the waiter, the waitress, me. Let's build that relationship back. Let's make that rapport fun again. Me and you together at the restaurant, just chatting it up and ordering our food and having a good old-fashioned time. Oklahoma State football is going to be wearing QR codes on the back of their helmets this year that will be linked to NIL funds. The way this is going to work is, while it's going to be too small, obviously, is a decal on the back of the helmet that if you're at the game in the stands, it's not going to really matter. But when you're watching on TV, you will be able to scan the code on the back of the helmet of the player who just made the play so that should you choose to, you can make a donation to that player or to that player's, NIL companies that are paying that player and others. Mike Gundy is the head coach at Oklahoma State, Apparently, this is something Oklahoma State has come up with, or the first team to do it, to combat the fact that they're one of the teams, most teams are not doing this, that basically at the start of the season, they say, go away, no more negotiating. We're not paying you anymore. We are walking away from the table. Tell your agent to leave us alone. It's football time. Whereas I guess a lot of teams will continue having discussions. And if you're elevating on the depth chart or whatever leverage you're finding with other programs.
My client had a 30-yard run.
Exactly.
So give him more. Wow.
And Gundy basically said, we're not going to do that during the year. That part of the offseason is over. You now play football. And as a make good of sorts, as a idea to kind of appease the players, to keep the program happy and everybody feeling like they could still make their money, they've decided to go with these QR codes. This was Gundy a couple weeks ago. He got a lot of heat for this, but this is what he had to say.
That's what I told the players. You can just, there's no negotiating now. Portal's over. Right. You can enjoy, all negotiations history. Now we're playing football.
You can enjoy
just coaching and playing football.
Conference and a 12-team playoff, yeah. And everything being so different, just the newness of it all.
Yeah, and you know, the business side of what we do now is we have to have those conversations with them. You know, tell your agent to quit calling us and asking for more money. It's non-negotiable now. Get to start again in December. So now we're able to direct ourselves just at football, and that part is fun because there's been so much other stuff going on. It's been hard to really focus on football.
So that was the comment several days ago. And I don't know if this, I'm sure it was already in the works, but the announcement today was QR codes on helmets so that fans, should they choose to, you want to keep a player happy, you want to keep him at Oklahoma State, you want to make sure that your wide receiver that you love doesn't transfer for more money, he just made a catch, you might as well throw him $6. You might as well make a quick donation. Quote, this is a revolutionary step forward to help keep Oklahoma State football ahead of the game, Gundy said. It gives us a chance for everyday fans across the world to have a real impact when it comes to supporting the NIL efforts for Cowboy football. I'm thrilled about this opportunity for our players.
I got to tell you, it's really smart. It's cutting edge. It's he's exactly right. And I hate it. Like, I understand this is what you have to do now. This is an arms race. The Pandora's box, the toothpaste, whatever you want to call it, it's all out. It's off-putting to me. I don't enjoy it at all. There's nothing about it that says, Danny Ruye, come on in.
Well, but it's what you have to do. Looks nothing like college football.
It's what you have to do.
You see the story today. Alabama kept their GM. And I meant GM. He's the general manager of the football program because now college programs have general managers. Mm-hmm. But apparently, USC, I think it was, with Lincoln Riley, came headhunting and tried to add him to be their GM. Because now you're going to have a GM and a head coach. We're already seeing it with the conferences, right? You know, the Big Ten is going to be the NFC and the SEC is going to be the AFC or whatever. It's just going to be the two big conferences. But it is becoming more and more the National Football League. And so that was a headline today, that Alabama retains its GM with a record contract. But the QR code on the helmet, even though it is a sign of the times and kind of an eye roll, you got to be kidding me thing for a lot of people, it is genius.
It's genius.
I don't know what kind of money you generate. I'd imagine there will be some CEOs of companies, some people who run companies where they'll scan that code and they'll make a big donation. But my guess is it seems like this is lemonade stand style. Like you're just hoping that little Stevie gives you $11 and Tommy gives you 15. It's like a
nice first down catch Venmo. against our rival in the Bedlam game. 1,000 fans give you $5.
Right.
I mean, how awesome is that if you're the kid?
What is the site where you can kind of announce like, hey, my buddy Danny lost his car and
GoFundMe.
That's what it is. GoFundMe. To me, that's what this feels like a little bit is like a, what do you got? You want to throw $5 out there? Like, we don't win elections with $1,000. We win elections with $5 at a time, and I need yours today, America. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to keep our players happy with your $1 per every 10 rushing yards or whatever. Like, oh, he broke that tackle? How impressive was that?
It's like the PBS pledge drive, you know? Look, we interrupt this programming, and our phone bank is standing by. If you want to see more Downton Abbey, you know, give us $5. Unbelievable.
Pay as you go.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State students, instead of that $5 you were going to throw on your gambling app, I'm a FanDuel guy, but whatever you might be using, instead of that $5 you're putting on them to cover the number or whatever, maybe you just put that on your running back and make sure he doesn't transfer to USC next year.
God. But I'm telling you, this is the landscape. This is what it is. And everybody that, you know,
crusade. And I understand the thought process. I understand all the points. I totally get it. The paying athletes and whatever. They've sort of swarmed, complained for years, and then said, all right, we got it, and have moved on to the next thing. My point all along wasn't necessarily whether athletes should be paid or not. My point was there's no structure or organization, and the NCAA is not prepared to handle it. You're going to fundamentally change everything, and I think the sports are all going to get worse. And nobody cared, and I was just a jerk because it sounded like I was opposed to a player getting a $5 for his picture or whatever, and I'm not. My point is nobody thought this out. So the Pac-10's dead. As you mentioned, like the Big 12 was on life support. It's, you know, the teams, and you don't even know half the teams right now in the Big 12. Not I'm talking to you, Grant. I'm talking to you out there in Radioland. Everything's changed. It's basically a pro subdivision, and there's no collective bargaining. It's you know, a war of programs that are basically willing to spend X amount of money because the donors and everyone else can't compete. And there's no room at the table for the, like, regular college football team anymore. You know what I mean? It's a few mega superpowers. The pro leagues have CBAs. The pro leagues have salary caps, all that kind of stuff. Who's going to negotiate that? Are you going to do that or not?
The only time I've ever seen anything like this was a couple of times in the National Football League when a player has a massive game or a play that really bails another team out. You'll see a fan base jump on their charity site and donate a bunch of money. So I remember, like, Joe Flacco, I think it was, one year. It was like a Bengals-Ravens game or something, and he helped out the Bills, and Andy Dalton was involved, and he was going back and forth with Dalton, and Dalton goes and gets the win, and the Bills just poured, the Bills Mafia, mm-hmm. like tens of thousands of dollars into Andy Dalton's charity for local dog shelters or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I remember last year tweeting out a link. I looked it up. When Greg Zuerlein kicked the field goal for the Jets to beat the Commanders, when they tried their best, the Rivera-Marty party ops with Jacoby Brissett to beat the Jets that day, and instead of picking second, they would have picked fourth or fifth or whatever, and you don't get Daniels or May, and you probably end up going with a non-quarterback or you know, the fourth quarterback in the country or whatever. I remember saying, hey, Greg Zuerlein just made a 54-yarder. This is his charity, and posting it. And I don't want to say it went viral, but a lot of Commanders fans were like, oh, this is a great idea, and kind of latched on, like, let's donate to his charity or mm-hmm. whatever. I've seen that, and that's kind of what this is. But this is just a, hey, man, order some pizza this week. Here's your $20.
Yeah.
Like, it's a show.
And then order pizza for everybody because a couple thousand fans are going to do it.
Exactly.
Golly.
NIL.
What
buddy.
A time, dude.
QR codes on the back of the helmet 2024. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Speaking of the number two pick and Jaden Daniels, how confident are you in Daniels based on what we've seen so far? He's looked really good. Practice has gone well. Preseason games have been exceptional. Hasn't been asked to do a ton. The degree of difficulty has been low, but he's been splendid. What's your level of confidence that when the real bullets are flying in September, Daniels is going to shine? That's next right here on The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I'm a rookie, so I got to come out here and prove it. What I did in college doesn't matter. There's guys that's been in this league that are proven. So for me, it's just knowing my role. They weren't looking at me because I got drafted where I got drafted to come here and be a leader. We got great veterans around. And like I said, even Marcus, for him be able to go out there and take me under his wing, help mold me to be prepared, stuff like that, giving me pointers after plays or, you know, we might see this look, you might have to do this and stuff like that. So we got great veterans around.
Jaden Daniels yesterday after being named Commanders starting quarterback. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On The Fan, we're taking you up to 6:15 in Nats baseball tonight. I saw a story on thefandc.com that our buddy Lou DiPietro wrote. And it was about Eric Bickle of the Junkies. This must have been on yesterday's show or maybe this morning. It was written today. And he said, the exact words of our own Eric Bickle used were just short of bust-proof, as he whispered that, but instead vocalized, my guy is not going to miss. But it's a topic definitely worth hoping for. Is Jaden Daniels a lock to be great? And I guess this was a conversation the Junkies were having, the point being that EB has kind of seen enough, that he's ready to write in pen that Jaden Daniels is the answer, the search is over, like send the helicopters home, call off the dogs, we have found what we were looking for. Jaden Daniels is going to be the long-term solution for Washington. And while there's no real need to come to that conclusion right now, like there's no rush.
Sure, there's no gavel.
I'm just curious if that's how people are feeling already at this point, or if that's a minority opinion. And I figured we could take the temperature of our listeners. For the first time today, we'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. 800-636-1067. They're wide open. 800-636-1067. Just on your confidence in Jaden Daniels. Because I think two things can be true. One, all reports are extremely positive and they should be. I'll just speak for myself, having gone out to practice a few times and seen him. I was super impressed, between really like immensely impressed and blown away, depending on the day. And then the preseason games have also gone exceptionally well. I think he's 12 of 15 passing. So that's all true. And the most important stuff, as we keep saying, is the non-football part of it that's not on the field. The stuff that we don't see that we're being told he's doing at a really, really high level. The studying, bonding with his teammates, acting like a normal guy, all that. But the second part that I think is also true is he hasn't really been asked to do anything in games yet. He's being asked to throw the ball around the line of scrimmage. He made the one deep throw that was unbelievably pretty on a play he checked into, but it was kind of man coverage when his receiver won, and he dropped it in the bucket, which was awesome. But if you look at his average depth of target or just how quickly the ball's coming out, those numbers, on average, in a very small 15-throw sample, are not what the NFL season looks like statistically. You know, he's throwing in sub 2 seconds. It's going to be 2.5 seconds. You know, the A-dot of 5.5 would have been the lowest in the league last year. So my point is there's a lot more coming that's more difficult than what we've seen, and it's probably aggressive or too early to just say, I don't need to see any more. The truth is somewhere in the middle. But I will say that my confidence in him is growing all the time, and I feel better about him than I did weeks ago. But that's what I want to tap into.
Yeah, to me, I think there are two discussions, and I'll get to it. For me, just a Jaden Daniels diagnosis. He has nearly every attribute and checks every box, nearly every box of what I would want, prototypical with the position, right? You already said it. The study habits, the off the field, the dedication, not just part-time, not just for Instagram, not just for, you know, a TikTok here or there, but it's a real thing. That's a 24/7 commitment that you can't ask for anything more. Physical talent is there. I mean, to me, the only thing I would change is I'd give him 20 extra pounds of frame and potentially, hopefully, make him slightly more durable. Other than that, prototypical height, speed, athleticism, throwing arm, accuracy, anticipation, coverage, reading ability, everything that you would want in a quarterback, he has the skill set to start it. So that's number one. How confident am I that they've solved it? How could you be confident yet, to your point? And here's the thing that I would add. There are a million guys, that's not true, but less than that, but so many first-round quarterbacks that had every pedigree, that had every you know, spring practice, they were incredible. Every training camp, they were incredible. Every preseason, they were incredible. And a million things have derailed them, whether it's an injury, whether it's something nagging, whether it was bad coaching, whether it was the fact that they just weren't ready for the spotlight, whether that a defensive coordinator hit them so many times that they finally went and crumbled. I mean, the stories of guys that started off great and ended up doing absolutely next to nothing that are punchlines is comical. We have no idea what's going to happen ultimately. But again, for me, I love the kid. I wanted them to draft him, and I'm excited that he's the dude. I've seen everything that confirms my priors about how talented and how good of a person he is, and he's the right person to get this best opportunity. To me, how confident am I? I don't know, if we're doing a 1 to 10, probably a 5. And the biggest knock against it, one, is his size. That's the thing I've always been scared about. But number two, I don't think they did a very good job of surrounding him with talent to make it easy for him. I think they lowered his ceiling potentially. I look at some of the guys like Justin Herbert who hit the ground running, and would you look at that? There's a Pro Bowler, there's a star, and there's Austin Eckler right behind him. Duh. he has the best rookie season that anybody's ever had as a quarterback. You look at C.J. Stroud. Now we know that some of these guys were ballers in waiting, and they worked really, really hard to surround him with a great offensive line and weaponry. They didn't do that here. They're taking their time, which sounds great, but I think they lowered what, you know, I think some of the potential there to, you know, you make it easy on a guy at first, and then he builds and builds and builds and becomes a superstar. I think they're kind of making it harder here unnecessarily.
I think there have been some guys who had it really, really hard from a personnel standpoint. Justin Fields in Chicago comes to mind, among others. And now that's the in vogue thing to say when it's not great. But there's a big difference between being okay, which is what Washington's skill group is, in my opinion, and bad, or doing a bad job. Robert Griffin in 2012 broke records, was the Rookie of the Year award winner. It was an offense no one had ever seen before, and I know that it went sideways eventually, but it was an unbelievable year by all accounts. Number one offense, number one yards per play, number one rushing, number one passing yards per play. His most targeted receiver that year was Josh Morgan. He was out of football soon thereafter with, you know, had broken ankle he had played with coming back from. Santana Moss, who was 34 years old, was the third most targeted receiver. Leonard Hankerson, who did not go on to have
Garcon was the design, but got hurt in week one.
Yeah, Garcon played 10 games, and he in those 10 games, he was pretty good. He averaged like four catches and 60 yards per game for Washington that year. But Morgan, Garcon, Moss, Hankerson, Logan Paulson, those were the most used receivers. So I disagree with this idea that it's got to be the Chicago Bears this year, where they have the best three. I think this is plenty good enough if you're special and if you're an elite player like Jaden Daniels is. But having said that, to me, it's not even that I'm like dubious or skeptical of the year ahead from a skill group standpoint. I do have some questions about the line, and I want to see that come together. I just think there's a difference between excitement, which everyone should be feeling, and the confidence when you're saying, I've seen it. There's nothing else to see. We haven't seen anything yet. How could there be nothing else to see? Because some wide receiver screens and some quick outs went well. You've got the whole riddle solved. He has not yet thrown a ball in the middle of the field, which is one of the big statistical knocks, remember, from the college resume. He threw a pop pass, essentially, to a tight end on a little read option look. But, I mean, an in-breaking kind of drop-back game, middle-of-the-field throw where you got to fit a ball between defenders. Haven't really seen it. It's going to come in time, and I'm sure he'll do it at a high level because he's done everything else at a high level. But my point is, all the stuff that we wondered about, can you avoid sacks in the drop-back game? Can you throw the ball middle of the field? Are you going to avoid contact? Those three questions still have not been answered, and we really haven't even seen any even indication of what that's going to look like. So I don't know how anyone could already kind of have their mind made up when I heard that, like, oh, it's sold, it's over. You go back to like Sam Howell against the Ravens. Remember how good he looked in that preseason game? And all I also can't help myself but thinking all the rookies have been awesome. Bo Nix has been incredible. Maybe Bo Nix is going to be a superstar. He's 24. He's about to be 25. He's like an 800-year-old rookie. Played 8,000 college games. He might be really good, really quickly.
Yeah, he's with a great offensive mind. It's Drew Brees-esque. Right. It's a good fit.
It's very possible that he's awesome, and so is Penix, and so is McCarthy, and so is Williams, and so is Drake May. But my point is, so far everyone's looking good. It's more likely than not that eventually there's going to be a couple of guys that aren't actually what they look like right now. So I'm not trying to pour cold water or anything. I'm very excited, but there's no race to crown him. There doesn't need to be a sprint to say, write it down in pen, we got our guy. Let's go to Mike, who's in Ashburn on Grant and Danny. How are you, Mike?
Good, guys. How are you?
Come in.
I couldn't agree with you guys anymore. You know, this day and age, everybody wants it to be automatic and right away, and it's got to be the end of it. Nobody gives anything any time. He's had nobody around his feet. He's had very little pressure on him, very little blitzes. I mean, he hasn't come from behind yet. I mean, there's so many things, like you guys said, that you know, I just think everybody's just hoping so much that he is that they're talking themselves into it, and they're really setting people up for failure, because if you think that much already, it could only go down from there, because, you know, how is he going to be when he gets in the fire? And of course, he's studying, and he's coming in early. He's supposed to. He's a rookie. He doesn't know what he's doing yet. That's what he's supposed to be doing. And I know other quarterbacks don't do that, but they make that out to be like he's doing something so special by coming in early and leaving late, like, you're supposed to. You're the franchise quarterback. So I think it's way too early. We've seen nothing yet. And I think everybody just get out of the day and age of instant gratification and instant good quarterback like that we want to have, because we're talking ourselves into it too early.
I think it's a great call.
Thank you, buddy.
The only pushback on people being excited about how hard he's working is it's notable because they've had young guys here who didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not all young guys do that. And your point is, well, you should. And I agree with you.
You definitely should.
And the really good ones do it. But not everybody does. And we've seen that here, where within a couple of weeks, they knew, uh-oh, this is not what it looks like for a franchise quarterback from a work standpoint. And so it's just a prerequisite that you know he's got, right? It's like when you're in the classroom and you're sitting down and the teacher asks you, did you take this course last year like you were supposed to? And we go around the room and there's a bunch of guys that didn't. They're going to stay there now, but they're screwed. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And the guy that took the course, at least you have a chance to do well in my class.
I had to take an international politics class, that did some sort of thing, and the only one that fit into my schedule, half the class spoke Russian, and I didn't.
Ooh.
I sat through that first class. I went up to the professor afterwards. I was like, listen, I have to take it to graduate. I can't do another schedule because of baseball. What do I do? And he's like, I think you might have a really hard time.
I think that's one of the most helpless, lonely feelings in the world that I've ever had.
Yeah.
I always say pitching, when you can't throw a strike and the whole ballpark's watching you and angry,
mm-hmm.
you've now walked three in a row and it's 3-1.
They're all chirping you.
You might walk a run home. Like, there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to go. Uh-huh. We're all watching. Horrible feeling. For me, the closest thing I think I've ever had in terms of just that loneliness, you're sitting in a room. For me, it was Spanish class at George Mason University, whatever level it was. But everybody's talking Spanish, and I have no idea what anybody's saying.
Don't call me. Don't call
and
me.
And I'm just
call
waiting call to hear me, my call name me. Called. It's a terrible, terrible feeling. Speaking of hearing his name called, did you hear what Emmanuel Forbes said on the sideline about being picked on by the fan base?
I did.
I found this really interesting. It is pretty clear that he sees a lot of the negativity about him and that he doesn't like it. He doesn't think it's fair. You'll hear this audio next. I'm fascinated by this because you'd think first-round pick, played in the SEC, kind of heavy lies the crown, but it's pretty obviously gotten to him in some way. We'll get to that next on G&D here on The Fan. I've taken some heat for my baseball indoors is better than you think it is take, and I know that. But as I'm looking at video last night of one of the light shows in a ballpark late night, it just reminds me that at Nats Park after a home run, unless it's like the fifth inning or later, you can't even really tell that they're doing the cool lights. And really, with the 6:45 starts, which stink on ice for the record. I'm wrong about a lot of things. I was right about the 6:45 starts. They're the pits. But anyway, you got to be at like the seventh inning to really get the full effect of the red lights that they shine after a home run or a victory lights that they do. If they played indoors all the time, every home run is a banger.
You have, it's awesome you've come around on that. We got in a fearsome argument years ago where I was like, after another Nats game got rained out or it wasn't rained out or it was in between, and we're like, what are we doing? I go, we need to eliminate this. Every stadium should have a roof. And you're like, no, it's baseball outside's way better. Indoors, baby. Indoors. Eliminate my inconveniences to watch your sport.
I think
that's
the inconveniences are a big part of it. It's comfort, though, more than anything else. It's just, you shouldn't have your day or your trip ruined if
100%.
The time that you're there it rains or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And retractable roofs, which would always be my ideal, best of both worlds, just aren't practical.
Right.
Because as I talk to more people who are involved in running businesses and teams and stuff.
Like, do the Astros ever open it?
Well, not only that, they don't. The answer to your question is no. It's always closed. But it just costs too much money to build stadiums and ballparks.
Uh-huh.
It's like $500 million more dollars. We already can't get anything built. You want to tack on another, you know, add a 10, what would it be, like 25% to the project, basically?
Yeah.
In terms of the finances, just doesn't work. Let's go Emmanuel Forbes here, though. This audio was from Channel 9's broadcast of the Commanders game, WSA-TV. He was doing an interview on the sideline with Brian Colbert Jr., I believe is his name, from Commanders.com. And he was talking about, as you're going to hear in this clip, basically how much flack he gets at this point and how he's trying to drown out some of the noise. This is last year's first-round pick who was benched a couple times, who's really had a tough go of it.
Oh, you know, I usually don't pay no mind, you know. I feel like I'm under a microscope. I can't mess up one thing, and it's part of football, you know. People gonna make mistakes, and I just, you know, continue to be myself. And my coaches trust in me, and they tell me, you know, just silence all the noise and just go out there and be yourself. So they encourage me all the time, and just they with me all the time. So, yeah.
So I have two thoughts on that. But before I give you those, I want to hear what you think, because I haven't asked you this yet. Mm-hmm. When you hear him say that, is it as interesting to you as it was to me? That was a kind of, I'm watching the game, I paused, I rewound, and I recorded, and I said, I want to talk about this week. Does it register to you in that same way, or is it just
player Of course speed? It does. No, it is. It's basically saying, hey, this got to me. Because even though he said he qualified it afterwards a couple different times with, I understand it's part of football, and I get it, and everybody supports me, but it tells you that it reached him, it bothered him.
Well, remember, and he it affected got rid him. Of his social media account at mm-hmm. one point last year.
Yeah.
Do you know, Darius, you're more up on like Commander's Twittery type things. Is he back on social media? I know there was like a he was off, he was on kind of thing last year.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen his name on social media recently. I can give me a second, I can confirm.
And though, correct me if I'm wrong, but the general shtick is, not that anyone's doing anything wrong, he is the number one beaten down player by the fan base on social media. Is that about right?
I would say it's about right. I'm sure you can nitpick a couple other players here and there, but I would say Emmanuel Forbes probably trends more than anybody else.
Just enemy of the state number one mm-hmm. because you were picked in the first round. I think the animosity is not even necessarily toward him. That animus and that vitriol is probably toward Ron.
And he's gone.
Toward the Martys, you right. know, toward the pick itself, because you see what Christian Gonzalez is doing. In fact, he's a really, really good kid. Like, legitimately a nice person. I've now interviewed him several times, met him in person a few times. Just a couple of weeks ago out at practice, caught up with him for a few minutes. I mean, he could not be more pleasant. And I root for him for that reason. You kind of root for people, right? But that quote, I feel like I'm under a microscope and I can't mess up one thing. And then he goes on to say, and it is part of football. What he's saying is, this is an imperfect game. No corner is going to go out and put 60 plays in a game on tape that are perfect. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to get beat. I'm going to give up touchdowns. I'm going to give up completions. I'm going to give up first downs. Guess who else does? Name a corner. They all do, by the way. And his point is, but when I do it, it seems like a bigger deal to everybody else. And I think this is true. I agree with him. Period on the sentence, next sentence. I'm sorry, dude, but you were a first-round pick. You're getting that first-round pick money. You're getting that first-round pick treatment after the draft. Everybody was loving you. People are buying your jerseys. You benefit from it just like you get bothered by it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't played very well. And this is no longer high school football where beating up on someone who gets beat is the wrong thing to do, or even college football. Although I would make the case all bets are off now in college, because if I'm allowed to scan your QR code with my phone
right.
and pay you for your catch, I'm sure as hell allowed to say you made a dumb play and that penalty was stupid. So we might need to reevaluate how we analyze and talk about college football and what we're allowed to say and not say, because these are just kids. These are not professionals.
It's also, by the way, very fitting, just back to that discussion, that it's Mike Gundy. I'm a man. I'm 40. Don't talk about the kid. You mean the millionaire?
Right.
Whose exactly. QR code I scanned? Yeah. Anyway, but yeah.
Under a microscope. Mm-hmm. I can't mess one thing up. I think that's true, because fans, fair or not, to say that they don't like him as a player, I think is accurate, but he's in the doghouse. So until you earn your way out of the doghouse, you're absolutely under a microscope. When you mess up and someone else mess ups, it's a bigger deal because you were in the first round and they were in the fifth round, because you're Emmanuel Forbes. So I don't necessarily have great empathy for that. I will say that, yes, I think that the fan base's negativity toward him clearly is not helping and registers. Like it gets to him literally and figuratively. It shows up on his desk. He sees what everyone's saying. And it clearly is bothering him as well.
I went to the DC United Celtic friendly a couple months ago during the summer. DC United's right back made a mistake and let one of the Celtic players run free in the box to finish. What's the right back's name? Exactly. Everyone cares about Emmanuel Forbes and the team. Sorry, scrutiny comes with it. If you don't want it, hand the money back. Go do something else where there's less scrutiny. There's plenty of things where there's less scrutiny. If it bothers you, I'm not yelling at it, I'm saying, but if you're there's a trade-off. You already alluded to it. A huge paycheck,
Yeah.
And attention paid to you and your sport.
By the way, when things are going well, you're able to get paid to drink Gatorade, or you get a car that you don't have to pay for. You have a shoe deal. There's all kinds of awesome things when things are going well for you. The bad part is when it's not going well, some people might tweet at you. Get off the internet.
Yeah, and to his credit, he did. And I feel like I'm ripping him. I don't mean to. This is sort of like a general thing where I feel this way about celebrities oftentimes, where it's like, oh, just leave me alone. Now come do my press junket thing where I go on a tour to try to promote the thing to make myself tens of millions of dollars. It's like, well, there's kind of a cost sometimes to doing that. People are interested in you. They're going to be interested in you. But back to Forbes. I think he's right that maybe his mistakes are, you know, more vilified or otherwise, but he makes a lot of them. He's not good. And that's the essential takeaway here.
He has not played well.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm ready to say he's not good or if that's the right way to word it. He's not played well.
Say it however you want. At this point, the homework been turned in has been bad.
That is very fair. Aaron Schatz created DVOA and Football Outsiders. He's now one of the analytics guys at ESPN Plus and the chief analytics officer for FTN Fantasy. He had a Jaden Daniels take that didn't sit right with a lot of us who have been watching Daniels play well early on in practice and in the preseason. And I want him to explain that. We'll have him on next here on Grant and Danny. I've taken some heat for my baseball indoors is better than you think it is take, and I know that. But as I'm looking at video last night of one of the light shows in a ballpark late night, it just reminds me that at Nats Park after a home run, unless it's like the fifth inning or later, you can't even really tell that they're doing the cool lights. And really, with the 6:45 starts, which stink on ice for the record, I'm wrong about a lot of things. I was right about the 6:45 starts. They're the pits. But anyway, you got to be at like the seventh inning to really get the full effect of the red lights that they shine after a home run or a victory lights that they do. If they played indoors all the time, every home run is a banger.
It's awesome you've come around on that. We got in a fearsome argument years ago where I was like, after another Nats game got rained out or it wasn't rained out or it was in between, and we're like, what are we doing? I go, we need to eliminate this. Every stadium should have a roof. And you're like, no, baseball outside's way better. Indoors, baby. Indoors. Eliminate my inconveniences to watch your sport.
I think the inconveniences are a big part of it. It's comfort, though, more than anything else. It's just you shouldn't have your day or your trip ruined if
100%.
The time that you're there, it rains or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And retractable roofs, which would always be my ideal, best of both worlds, just aren't practical.
Right.
Because as I talk to more people who are involved in running businesses and teams and stuff.
Like, do the Astros ever open it?
Well, not only that, they don't. The answer to your question is no. It's always closed. But it just costs too much money to build stadiums and ballparks. It's like $500 million more dollars. We already can't get anything built. You want to tack on another, you know, add a 10, what would it be, like 25% to the project, basically? Yeah. In terms of the finances, just doesn't work. Let's go Emmanuel Forbes here, though. This audio was from Channel 9's broadcast of the Commanders game, WSA-TV. He was doing an interview on the sideline with Brian Colbert Jr., I believe is his name, from Commanders.com. And he was talking about, as you're going to hear in this clip, basically how much flack he gets at this point and how he's trying to drown out some of the noise. This is last year's first-round pick who was benched a couple times, who's really had a tough go of it.
Oh, you know, I usually don't pay no mind, you know. I feel like I'm under a microscope. I can't mess up one thing, and it's part of football, you know. People going to make mistakes, and I just, you know, continue to be myself. And my coaches trust in me, and they tell me, you know, just silence all the noise and just go out there and be yourself. So they encourage me all the time, and just they with me all the time, so yeah.
So I had two thoughts on that, but before I give you those, I want to hear what you think, because I haven't asked you this yet. Mm-hmm. When you hear him say that, is it as interesting to you as it was to me? That was a kind of, I'm watching the game, I paused, I rewound, and I recorded, and I said, I want to talk about this week. Does it register to you in that same way, or is it just
player Of course speed? It does. No, it is, it's basically saying, hey, this got to me. Because even though he said he qualified it afterwards a couple different times with, I understand it's part of football, and I get it, and everybody supports me, but it tells you that it reached him, it bothered him.
Well, remember, and he it got rid him. Of his social media account at mm-hmm. one point last year.
Yeah.
Do you know, Darius, you're more up on like Commander's Twittery type things. Is he back on social media? I know there was like a he was off, he was on kind of thing last year.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen his name on social media recently. I can give me a second, I can confirm.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the general shtick is not that anyone's doing anything wrong. He is the number one beaten down player by the fan base on social media. Is that about right?
I would say it's about right. I'm sure you can nitpick a couple other players here and there, but I would say Emmanuel Forbes probably trends more than anybody else.
Just enemy of the state number one, mm-hmm. because you were picked in the first round. I think the animosity is not even necessarily toward him. That animus and that vitriol is probably toward Ron.
And he's gone.
Toward the Martys, you know, right. toward the pick itself, because you see what Christian Gonzalez is doing. In fact, he's a really, really good kid. Like, legitimately a nice person. I've now interviewed him several times, met him in person a few times. Just a couple of weeks ago out at practice, caught up with him for a few minutes. I mean, he could not be more pleasant, and I root for him for that reason. You kind of root for people, right? But that quote, I feel like I'm under a microscope and I can't mess up one thing. And then he goes on to say, and it is part of football. What he's saying is, this is an imperfect game. No corner is going to go out and put 60 plays in a game on tape that are perfect. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to get beat. I'm going to give up touchdowns. I'm going to give up completions. I'm going to give up first downs. Guess who else does? Name a corner. They all do, by the way. And his point is, but when I do it, it seems like a bigger deal to everybody else. And I think this is true. I agree with him. Period on the sentence, next sentence. I'm sorry, dude, but you were a first-round pick. You're getting that first-round pick money. You're getting that first-round pick treatment after the draft. Everybody was loving you. People are buying your jerseys. You benefit from it just like you get bothered by it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't played very well. And this is no longer high school football where beating up on someone who gets beat is the wrong thing to do, or even college football. Although I would make the case all bets are off now in college, because if I'm allowed to scan your QR code with my phone and pay you for your catch, I'm sure as hell allowed to say you made a dumb play and that penalty was stupid. So we might need to reevaluate how we analyze and talk about college football and what we're allowed to say and not say, because these are just kids. These are not professionals.
It's also, by the way, very fitting, just back to that discussion, that it's Mike Gundy. I'm a man. I'm 40. Don't talk about the kid. You mean the millionaire?
Right.
Whose QR code I scanned? Yeah. Anyway. But yeah.
Under a microscope. Mm-hmm. I can't mess one thing up. I think that's true. Because fans, fair or not, to say that they don't like him as a player, I think is accurate. But he's in the doghouse. So until you earn your way out of the doghouse, you're absolutely under a microscope. When you mess up and someone else mess ups, it's a bigger deal because you were in the first round and they were in the fifth round because you're Emmanuel Forbes. So I don't necessarily have great empathy for that. I will say that, yes, I think that the fan base's negativity toward him clearly is not helping and registers. Like it gets to him literally and figuratively. It shows up on his desk. He sees what everyone's saying. And it clearly is bothering him as well.
I went to the DC United Celtic friendly a couple months ago during the summer. DC United's right back made a mistake and let one of the Celtic players run free in the box to finish. What's the right back's name? Exactly. Everyone cares about Emmanuel Forbes and the team. Sorry, scrutiny comes with it. If you don't want it, hand the money back. Go do something else where there's less scrutiny. There's plenty of things where there's less scrutiny. If it bothers you, I'm not yelling at it, I'm saying, but if you're there's a trade-off. You already alluded to it. A huge paycheck and attention paid to you and your sport.
By the way, when things are going well, you're able to get paid to drink Gatorade, or you get a car that you don't have to pay for. You have a shoe deal. There's all kinds of awesome things when things are going well for you. The bad part is when it's not going well, some people might tweet at you. Get off the internet.
Yeah, and to his credit, he did. And I feel like I'm ripping him. I don't mean to. This is sort of like a general thing where I feel this way about celebrities oftentimes where it's like, oh, just leave me alone. Now come do my press junket thing where I go on a tour to try to promote the thing to make myself tens of millions of dollars. It's like, well, there's kind of a cost sometimes to doing that. People interested in you, they're going to be interested in you. But back to Forbes. I think he's right that maybe his mistakes are, you know, more vilified or otherwise, but he makes a lot of them. He's not good. And that's the essential takeaway here.
He has not played well.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm ready to say he's not good or if that's the right way to word it. He's not played well.
Say it however you want. At this point, the homework been turned in has been bad.
That is very fair. Aaron Schatz created DVOA and Football Outsiders. He's now one of the analytics guys at ESPN Plus and the chief analytics officer for FTN Fantasy. He had a Jaden Daniels take that didn't sit right with a lot of us who have been watching Daniels play well early on in practice and in the preseason. And I want him to explain that. We'll have him on next here on Grant and Danny.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.